Hey Ding Dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie. Bonus episode.
Bonus episode.
Bonus episode.
I do have a boner today, in fact, Jamie.
And that's what I want you to explain to me, Richard.
Well, when a man becomes sexually aroused, the spongy tissue of his penis engorges with blood, causing rigidity. No, I have a boner today, Jamie, because I am happy about the United Kingdom's election results.
Oh, yeah!
God save our queen.
She is a liberty, and us is Britain.
Nice. Yeah, so we're gonna chat a little bit today about, we're gonna update, we're gonna double dip, I guess, our UK election episode, because hey, the UK election happened, and spoiler alert, shit was crazy. So let's waste no time and get into the explanation. I'm raring to go.
Yum yum yum. I don't know why it was so yummy, but it was.
Oh, it is yummy. It remains yummy.
So the British election has happened. The Queen successfully ran and won.
The Queen saw her shadow, so there will be 1,000 more years of British monarchy. Last time on, Britain elects a new government.
Yes.
You may recall the story was, there was not supposed to be an election for several years, but Theresa May, the leader of the Conservatives, emboldened by polling numbers suggesting that she had a very, very strong lead among people in Britain, decided to call an early election.
Right.
And she decided to call an early election to make her own position in negotiating the Brexit stronger. She had all these people in her own party who kind of disagreed with her about it, so she wanted to get more MPs in her party and prove to them that the people of Britain agreed with her and she was the one to lead the negotiations.
Right.
She was also hoping to deal a death blow to the Labour Party, led by Jeremy Corbyn, who is a true leftist candidate and who the media have been like dragging really hard for ever since he was elected, because
he's married to Macron.
Yeah, that's right. And because they just kiss each other too much. Right. No, we'll be talking about Macron next week, probably, because the election's happening right now. Actually, a lot of the results are probably out already, but we'll do it next week.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert. Some people projected that the Conservatives would win a majority of, like, up to, I've heard, even 100-seat majority.
Mm-hmm.
They, in fact, lost 13 seats.
Oof.
They were devastated in the polls. The strong mandate that Theresa May hoped to gain has actually withered away into a hung parliament, which means that her party doesn't even have a majority anymore.
Right.
And in order to form a government at all, they're going to have to enter into coalition with another party who agrees to prop them up, which drastically weakens her position as a negotiator
because
of the
nobody
Brexit.
Else is super into Brexit.
That's right. And Jeremy Corbyn, it's such a validation of his politics and his policies, which again are unabashedly socialist and leftist, which include direct references to the rich and the business, like the leader, the noble classes being responsible for many problems, and include really radical reforms like free education, college education for everyone, you know, renationalizing the railroads, renationalizing the National Health Service, like lots of very popular measures. And that all happened during the campaign. When the campaign started, he was 20 points behind the Conservatives. He ended up 2.4 points behind. He gained 10 points in total. It was a stunning, stunning upset. One of the hugest electoral upsets in the history of democracy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, what does this mean? This means that the Conservatives cannot so easily commit to Brexit.
Yeah. So I learned a couple interesting things. So the magic number in the British Parliament is 325. There's 650 seats. So if you get 325 seats, boom, you're in the majority, right? You can pass anything you want to pass, and that means you're the government.
Right. Up is down, and cotton candy is good for you.
That's right.
Right.
In practice, we're already into, remember, Britain's got all kinds of weird like nuances. Mm-hmm. Here's one of them. In practice, there's only actually about 640-ish real seats, because a bunch of the seats are in Northern Ireland, right? And there is a party in Northern Ireland called Sinn Féin, who are the leftist Let's Get Ireland Back into One Country party. And when they're elected, they refuse to take the oath to the Queen and don't go to the Parliament. Which is so badass.
I love the
like,
Irish.
How badass is that? So that owns. So the actual number is actually more like, it depends on how many seats they win, because right. they don't count them in the Parliament, because nobody assumes the seats.
Right.
So the actual majority number ends up being more like 318, something like that. Anyway, the Conservatives, it's more, 320, I can't remember what it is. It's slightly less than 325.
Right.
Anyway, the Conservatives had 318 seats. They need a couple seats in order to get a government functioning, or else they won't be able to do anything,
mm-hmm.
right? The only party who has agreed to work with them...
With the Conservatives,
is the Democratic Unionist Party. Now, you may have noticed that I have never mentioned this party before, and
no.
it's because they were a minor player. They're also a Northern Ireland party, and they're, like, the opposite of Sinn Féin.
Right.
They're the, like... Northern Ireland is part of the UK. And not only that, but they're like hardcore Protestants, right? Sinn Féin is a Catholic party.
Okay.
And the Democratic Unionist Party are like hardcore Protestants. And when I say hardcore Protestants, I'm saying they were founded by a dude who would like... who's like, we're going to ferret out all the popery.
Right.
Like, but not like popery, like a nice smelling bowl of dry leaves. I mean like... Pope, yeah,
those who love the Pope,
yeah, and like heckled the Pope at the Vatican once. This guy
dyed his skin orange.
That's right.
Yeah,
and the Democratic Unionist Party are also hard religious fundamentalists, some of whom believe the Earth is 6,000 years old and flat, and most of whom believe in that climate change isn't real, and in restricting abortion rights and all the shit,
all the
right-wing religious fundamentalist stuff. This is these people in right. Northern Ireland.
And now they're in a real power position.
Yeah, but get this. They're in favor of things not changing very much for Northern Ireland with the Brexit. So right away, Theresa May has to get into bed with a party that, because right now there's like very, there's no, like a porous border, right, between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. So
right.
you can still go over the border, right? But if the UK separated, suddenly that's the border between Europe and the UK, the
right.
Irish border. So what's going to happen in the Irish border is like a huge issue, right?
Hmm.
So this party doesn't want, because they know there's going to be a revolt. Like Ireland depends economically a huge amount on trading with the rest of Ireland, Northern Ireland with the Republic of Ireland. So it's really bad for them if the border closes and it becomes like a hard border. So they want that border to stay soft. There's also a possibility that like the border between Ireland and the UK could become the border, which means Northern Ireland would be like stuck on the wrong, and they wouldn't be able to trade freely with Britain anymore.
Mm.
And that's a disaster for Northern Ireland too.
Right.
Right. So all of a sudden, Theresa May has to work with this party that really wants a chill Brexit, right? Even though they're like religious fundamentalists. And that really fucks Theresa May's position with the EU, because if Theresa May is like, the British people want this, they're going to be like, no, they don't. What the fuck are you talking about? Go take a walk.
Right.
Right. So her negotiating position is really eroded.
Right.
And that's funny. Oh. Yeah. I mean, that's like funny. That's hilarious.
And
she thought she was going to win.
Funny.
She thought she was going to win the election, and she turned out to be this totally wooden creep that nobody liked.
Right.
And she turned out to be a very bad leader.
Mm.
She is not good in debate. She's not good in public. Like, people did not... When people were finally exposed...
I thought she handled that apartment fire pretty well.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we'll get into this in a second. This is, like, one of the saddest things I've ever heard in my life. But did you hear there was this quote? I mean, it's a couple weeks ago now, so maybe everyone's forgotten already. But, like, she was only doing these, like, pre-scripted events where she was asked, like, very soft questions by, like, some journalist who normally is, like, interviewing a dog who predicts the election by pooping on a pitcher or some shit, right? And they were like, what's the naughtiest thing you've ever done? And she was like, well, I suppose the farmers didn't like it when we used to run through the fields of wheat. It's like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew, say you like stole a stick of gum or something. Jesus, Theresa.
Yeah.
Like,
run through fields of wheat.
Yeah.
The naughtiest thing you've ever done.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jeremy Corbyn was like really looking good, really looking prime ministerial,
mm-hmm.
really articulating people's true frustrations, and including, as I said, people who normally seek the far right as an answer to their own precarious economic situation,
right,
because the far right says it's these immigrants' fault. You know, we need to make Britain the way it used to be, and then you'll be fine. The far left says you're a victim of our economic system, which enriches a very small number of people at the expense of everybody else. And we're going to do the things that we need to do to make sure that our country belongs to the people who live in it. Mm-hmm. And those people are sharing in the wealth of the country. That's all he said. And he's been saying that for his whole political career, and he continued to say it now. And when people really finally heard it and didn't just hear some British tabloid like, Jezza Corbyn caught in paedophile scandal, or so, you know, like the British tabloid bullshit,
right,
that never happened. That was just me riffing on a British
right,
tabloid.
But it is a viable thing that could have
oh,
happened.
Yeah, they'll say anything.
Right.
People started to really realize he had some shit going for him. So that's, anyway, that's it's kind of like delicious to watch the implosion of the Theresa May Conservatives. They're in this incredibly unstable coalition with the Democratic Unionist Party, which also, by the way, Sinn Féin, the other party in Ireland, Northern Ireland, says that it's basically a violation of the Good Friday Agreement that they're even in coalition with them, which is the agreement that was signed, the like peace agreement between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland in the late 1990s that put an end to like the troubles, right? The IRA, the like terrorism in the UK, about Ireland reuniting into one country. And the basic of the Good Friday Agreement are basically like there's an equal number of like Catholic and Protestant seats in the Northern Ireland government, and Britain stays the fuck out of it, right? And doesn't give preference to either side. That's kind of what they agreed on for peace. And then if they ever want to vote on uniting, they're allowed to vote. That's kind of what that agreement says. And now that suddenly the Protestants have the balance of power in the UK Parliament, they're like, this violates the Good Friday Agreement. You're violating the peace agreement, the Northern Ireland peace agreement. Like,
whoa.
It's like a serious, serious thing.
Wow, very interesting.
So, yeah, it's not clear what's going to happen in the future. There's clues already, and you mentioned
time to be alive.
I know, sure. Right? Like, wow, like what a year for Britain.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost a year to the day, maybe 11 months that since the Brexit. Like, what a shift it's
right.
been. And you mentioned the Grenfell Tower fire, which if I'm sure people have heard of, but it's developing as a flashpoint for everything wrong with the neoliberal economic consensus, basically. But
right.
what happened was there's a big tower in Kensington in North London. North London? Outside of London. I don't know if it's North
London, I think.
I feel like I said North London, but I'm sure some actual Londoner is
right.
calling me a filthy colonial right now. Basically, this entire apartment building immolated in flames over in one night. It was caused by like a faulty wiring in a refrigerator or something. And as of today, 58 people are confirmed dead. But it's very likely that everyone in that tower died. I mean, I don't know that for sure,
right.
but they're combing through the remains slowly but surely. And basically, the reason this has become such a flashpoint is it's like the worst of austerity so visible as in a single case. So remember, austerity is the opposite of stimulus. It's like you have to save money on social programs in order to like make the economy more efficient and leaner.
Right.
And so this was social housing, right? This was like public housing, but it had been covered on the outside with this like reflective kind of surface stuff that was a huge fire trap. And they were warned it was a huge fire trap, but it was done that way to save £5,000, which was going to be cheaper. And it was done to improve the view of the tower from the outside for the rich people who live around it. Like, and that's in the planning documents for the tower. It mentions that many times, that it will make the views nicer for the surrounding areas, which are all very wealthy.
Right.
Right? So these people...
Well, also, I think the contractor was given 50 orphans to work in his...
That's right.
In his workhouse.
That's right. And all he had to do was give them gruel and make them sing a little bit every day, right? No, but like, here is an apartment building that was... Because of cost-cutting measures to the social programs and in order to improve the aesthetic of the rich people's views from their houses, there's thousands of people may have burned alive inside it. Like, it was burning top to bottom in 15 minutes because of this material.
Right.
Theresa May showed up at this fire. This is the first thing, major thing in Britain that's happened since the election. Although, obviously, there was the terrorist attack that was... during, but like, this is the first major like development since the election, she meets only with a few senior fire officials and didn't talk to anybody. Mm. There were tons of people massed outside, you know, waiting for news, afraid, wondering what was going to happen, angry that this had happened because there had been many complaints about the fireproofing of this building, the fire danger. There's like a long paper trail of right. people saying this was a bad idea. And she leaves without talking to anybody. Even the queen went and talked to people and reassured people. She showed up there. Mm. Like, but Theresa May left, and apparently when she left without talking to anybody, she was chased out by a screaming mob calling her a coward. Yeah. And meanwhile, Jeremy Corbyn showed up. He was, you know, he shook hands, he talked to people, he spoke to people. The point I'm trying to make is that in her first major appearance as the leader of Britain, she has seemed deeply removed from the average person and very bad at doing her job and leading Britain in a time of need and defending her government's policies against, like, when all these human lives may have died because of this, because of these cost cuts.
Right.
Right. Like, she can't defend that. She can't defend her own policies to her own people, and they're burning alive in a fucking building. Anyway. It's a very interesting time for Britain.
Anyway, fuck that lady.
Yeah, she sucks.
Yeah.
And the long and short of it is, there's no way this government is going to last. Right. It's too fragile a coalition. It may be violating the Irish peace process. Like, these people are insane. Also, the Democratic Unionist Party are fucking crazy people.
Right.
Right? So, like, this government's going down. There's going to be another election in Britain very soon.
Right.
Like, it could be within months.
Good for Jeremy Corbyn.
And Jeremy Corbyn, especially because of stuff like his response to the Tower Fire, he just is a better leader. So it's not a question of, like, gross politics. It's like, every time the public is presented with an opportunity to see the difference between Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn, it's just obvious that he's a better leader. Like, he's a leader.
Right.
Anyway, if there is another election, there's an incredibly high chance that Jeremy Corbyn could get elected, and then there will be a true socialist leading, running Britain.
Which is amazing.
Which would be a huge, a massive change for the way that Western democracies have headed. Already, Corbyn's success has altered political discourse across the Western world, for sure. For sure now. Everything's going to be different.
Right.
I'm really excited to see what develops of it. But it's like a lot of the stuff that you and I have been talking about and processing and frustrated about.
Right.
It's happening.
Like, ground is actually
this broken. This is the first guy who decided to fight the fight on those terms, who decided to say, like, these things don't make any sense. These are the roots of the problems.
Right.
Why are we doing this?
It's a little bit like if Bernie Sanders had won.
Yeah, except he's even more left than Bernie.
Whoa.
He doesn't pull any punches. He wants to stop Saudi arms sales. He wants to not invade the Middle East anymore.
Right.
He's like ISIS. He's like, the reason we have terrorist attacks in the UK is because we're bombing and murdering people in the Middle East every day. Mm-hmm. And like, they think we're at war with them. And why would they not think that? Of course we have attacks in the UK. Right? He's unafraid to say those things, which
if
are true.
Another election. What do you think the odds of Lord Buckethead?
Honestly, I think Lord Buckethead, he may not be, you know, a member of parliament in reality, but I think he's a member of the parliament of all of our hearts.
Right.
And for those who haven't seen this, the ins and outs of British politics are so fucking funny. And like, this dude, apparently there's a low bar to run for a seat. And so running against Theresa May in her own riding was this dude named Lord Buckethead. You just got to Google a picture of it. But yeah. But because of the rules of British politics, they all had to be on stage together. So in all the pictures of Theresa May on election day, she's on stage with all the other candidates in her riding, one of whom is this dude named Lord Buckethead, who has this big Buckethead costume.
One is Elmo.
Yeah.
And then there's another one who's
it's like
Mr.
the village
Mr.
people.
Mr. Fishfinger.
It's like there's a construction worker and a fucking policeman. Yeah.
What was Lord Buckethead saying? He was like, you expect all these people to get in the same room and agree? It's going to be an absolute shit show.
bless you. God bless you, Lord Buckethead. God bless Lord Buckethead.
He has a bucket head. Let him rule the country.
Nice. Yeah, okay, so that's what happened. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's a huge upset.
There will be, updates for days.
I've been glued to the news coming out of the UK, and I recommend that you glue yourself. If you got any questions about any other of this stuff, if you want us to reflect on anything more, add some information, or you have that information you want to add, hit us up on Twitter at ExplainJamie, or Google Explain It to Jamie, email us, find us. We're freely available to find on the internet.
Yes, we are going to be having our British friends on to discuss Brexit and what exactly that means.
In just, Brexit.
A week and a bit.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. It should be a good time.
Perfect. Until next time, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
This has been Explain It to Jamie.